It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. By Beechwood Hospitality, we partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. At UAMS Ortho Now, it's open, the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, walk in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. They're conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, I sit down with Little Rock men's golf sophomore Ed Featherstone. He's from Sheringham, England, and has a unique story about how he ended up at Arkansas and how he started playing the game. And which football team does he like? And when I say football, I mean soccer. You might know the team he is pulling for when he tells me during this interview, but you'll have to wait till after the break for that. I'm back with Ed Featherstone after this. Stay with us.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons, it's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
The next time you travel to El Dorado and need overnight accommodations, the Haywood Hotel is where you need to stay. The Haywood El Dorado Tapestry Collection by Hilton is a great place to stay if you're in South Arkansas, listening to live music or playing the challenging Mystic Creek Golf Club. Take time and relax in their bar for a drink before going out on the town for dinner. The Haywood, 210 South Washington, right in the heart of downtown El Dorado. Search the Haywood El Dorado on the web or call 800-293-0718 for reservations. The Haywood, a Beechwood hospitality property.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Ed Featherstone grew up in Sheringham, England. He learned the game of golf playing the links on the eastern cliffs of England. He was the Norfolk County Amateur Champion in 23 and 24, made the round of 64 at the 2023 RNA Boys Amateur, made the round of 64 in the 2023 English Amateur, was 5th in the 2023 English Under 18 Championship, and 10th in the 2023 Scottish Boys Championship. He now plays for the Little Rock Trojans, and last year had a stroke average of 73.96. His low round of 67 came at the Hawkeye Invitational last season, and his best finish, 2nd, came at the Prestige Individual last season. On the tee, Ed Featherstone.
Ed, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club and fell in love with the game?
I do. The first time I picked up a golf club, I hated the game. My dad played and he bought me and my brother this small, I guess it was a US kid set, and I hated it and put it straight back. I was like, this isn't for me. I think I was probably 7 or 8, and then I didn't really pick it up again until 12, 13.
Yeah.
That was when it really started clicking for me.
So what do you think you didn't like about the game early on? What was it?
I think it was just too slow for me. I played pretty much every other sport and they're all exciting and big team sports, and I was a big football guy or soccer guy. I loved playing that, and that was a very fast-paced game for me. And then golf just was not quite the same.
Yeah, if anybody hasn't picked up on it yet, you're not from the States. You're from England, Sheringham, England. Where is that particularly located?
It's like on the east coast of England, right on the big hump of England. It's I mean, right on the coast. Sheringham's a seaside town. I live in a seaside town. It's a beautiful part of the country, but again, pretty quiet and wasn't quite for me.
Pretty much some good fish and chips over there?
Very good fish and chips. Very good.
I bet. Growing up, what country club did you grow up playing?
Sheringham was the course. Sheringham Golf Club is a clifftop links. It's a beautiful part of the country. The course is amazing. Not particularly long, but it's a challenge with the wind. So it was a good test for me when I was growing up to just teach me how to hit different shots and fly the ball a bit better. But that was where I started, yeah.
So right on the cliffs. I mean, I'm sure you've got some great views there.
Some really nice views. You can see miles down the coast. You can, you know, hit balls off the cliff into the ocean. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool place.
How many times have you done that?
Oh, I don't know. Probably too many times. Too many times.
Get a ball that's got a little cut in it or something. Yeah. And like, all right, it's out to sea.
Yeah. See which wave you can hit.
Yeah, exactly. So you didn't particularly like the game early, but then when you picked it up again, what kept you playing the game? Why did you like it then?
I think I was pretty good at it, and golf is one of those games that when you hit one shot and it feels nice and you feel like you've achieved something doing it, then it's quite easy to come back again and do it again. And my dad's been very good to me. He doesn't push me or anything, but he just taught me the basics of how it was, and he played a bit himself. He got single figures. He was good enough to teach me the basics for sure, and I think that was nice that he just kept, there was no pressure to do it. He just was like, oh, you come joining me this Saturday? And I'd say yes sometimes, say no, there was no pressure, and eventually started playing it a bit more and then going off to school and then joined Sheringham, and that was easier. That was about a 10-minute walk from my school, so it got a bit addictive then.
Was there a time that you were like, okay, this is really cool, I want to try and really compete at this game?
Yeah, there was. My first under par round, I'd played for about a year and 5 months, I think. So I was about 14 or something like that. And I shot 69 round Sheringham, and I was like, hang about, this is all right. We can, I mean, I was miles off wherever I needed to be, but it just felt nice to shoot under par and complete an under par round. And then I started playing a bit better. And then 22, played Junior European Open. The Sky Junior European Open, which isn't a particularly big tournament, but it was nice to go to travel to Spain, and that felt like the travel life that they have, and I played all right, came second, and then it sort of snowballed from there a little bit, and 23 was a good year, and 24 I had exams and didn't quite do what I wanted to do, but now we're here and we're working a little better, so.
Yeah, obviously working on your game. I mean, it's a game that you have to continue to work on it, don't you?
Yeah. You have to spend the hours on it. And I think, I don't know, Lee Trevino said, I think it's a quite a lonely sport. You've got to be used to being lonely. And I spend a lot of time by myself practicing, so I don't mind it. I quite enjoy that peaceful mentality to it.
You grew up in England, and obviously soccer is big over there, much bigger than it is in the States. And you said earlier that you liked playing that. When did you quit playing soccer and focus totally on golf?
I think I was 14. I think I was 14 or 15. I still played for the school, but we had a really good team growing up locally. We were, the best team in the region. So, and then a couple of our players got scouted for the academies, and I played for the local, like not academy, but development team. And that was the moment I was like, I played a defensive role, and then it started getting to the age group where you tackle someone and they'll dive, and they see it on TV and the players dive, and I wasn't particularly involved in that. I didn't like that mentality of sport. So, and my dad was a very good footballer. He was a keeper, but he could have quite easily gone to professional level, and he didn't enjoy. He never watched me.
Never.
I think he watched two games and he was like, it's so different to when he played it with the leather ball and the like nail studs and proper contact. It was just it's not quite the same. So I was like, it's not the traditional game that I enjoyed playing.
So he didn't like the fact that you did that. He'd rather you play golf than play soccer.
Well, I don't think he minded what sport I played. He just, it wasn't the same when he was growing up. Like he supported me throughout the whole thing. My mum came and watched, supported me every game. They'd sit on the side, they'd freeze on the side with their coffee cups, but it wasn't quite the sport that I think I was made to play. I don't think that was where I needed to be.
Who's your team?
Oh, Manchester United, but that's a rough call in the family. Dad's a Liverpool fan, so gets a little heated sometimes.
I bet it does. How many times are you guys texted back and forth or a phone call?
A little bit, yeah.
There's a little discussion on that, huh?
Yeah, he'll send a few messages through. Although Manchester United have been playing well recently, so they haven't lost in a while. It's been good.
Yeah, it's been good. Obviously, I mean, that's huge over there, but so is golf in England and up in Scotland, isn't it?
Yeah, golf is it's a growing sport for sure. And it's the last, I'd say since COVID, really, it's massively grown within the younger. All my friends who used to, you know, jokingly take the mick out of me for playing golf are now sending me messages going, what do you think of this swing or whatever. They're all involved now. And
so they're trying to get you to help them with their game.
Yeah, they think I can help them. Some of them maybe lost causes.
Besides your dad, who helped you with your game growing up?
The local pro, he actually was at Munsley, which is about 35, 40 minutes away, and he was my first teaching pro, and he is extremely good still to this day with the basics of the swing and the mechanics. So if I ever, like last year, I really struggled at the start, and we were going through other coaches and seeing which one would work, and I just sent him a few videos. Like, he knows that, he's known me for the last 7 years, he knows exactly what I do, and he's awesome with that sort of thing, and he there's no pressure or anything from him. He just taught me the basics and got me moving in the right way. And then we moved on to, when I got in the England regional squads, that was the move to that coach, and then really worked well with Chris, as he's the coach for the regional team. And I still work with him when I go back to England, which is awesome.
It's pretty nice, the fact that you can take a video of your swing and stuff and send it to someone, and they're like, okay, here's what you need to work on, or here's what I see. Do you see the same thing? That interaction, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's how it needs to be, I think. Last year I got a little bit lost. There was a lot of voices and everything, and it's nice to just be able to send it to a couple of people and just know that you're in your best interest is what they're looking for, and that's really, really nice to have that support network.
Ed, what's the best part of your game?
My irons and driving, I'd say, that's definitely the strongest part of my game.
You love playing in the wind since you grew up playing in it? You're like, okay, if I got to play against somebody else in match play and it's a windy day and I know they hate it, that I'm going to be pretty good.
I really enjoy wind. I mean, Minnesota showed that this year. Like, benign conditions, I was 2 over par and then shot 330 mile an hour winds. It was, I don't know what it does to me, but it just makes me see the shot a little easier. And
maybe concentrate a little more?
I think so. It must do. I'd love to know the exact reason why, but it does just, I think also the expectations are not lowered, but just the excitement of hitting a good shot in the wind is like a bit more rewarding than no other conditions to account for.
I think a lot of people in the States think of golf in England and Scotland as it's all links, but that's not the case.
No,
is it?
No.
There are some what you guys call parkland courses that kind of set up what, like you see here in the States, correct?
Yes.
What's the difference for those that are listening?
There's trees for one. I think there's about 5 trees on the whole of Sheringham Golf Course. So there's trees, and tree lined is a very different perspective off the tee. That's the, I'd say, one of the main differences. They tend to be longer, the parkland, the newer ones. I was a member at Royal Norwich, which is the new, I think it was American designed actually in Norfolk, and it's like 7,400 off the back, and Sheringham's like 6,667. So there's a big difference in that regard due to length, and the green complexes tend to slope a lot more. Fairways maybe a little wider on the parkland. It's a much more American style of golf course, I'd say.
Sure.
It's very enjoyable to play, but you know, I'd say they're two very different tests between links and parkland.
Obviously, growing up and playing the game, learning the game, you watched it on TV. Mm-hmm. Who were some of the golfers that you liked to watch?
I still am. Coach would make, he'll agree with this. Adam Scott is definitely, you know, my swing idol, should we say. Not necessarily that I copy it, but I just really like watching him play. And
what is it about him?
I think it's just the positions he hits in his swing are just so textbook, and so it's such a fluid swing now. And I mean, he just looks good doing it. No, you know what I mean? Big Australian dude playing golf. It's pretty cool to watch sometimes. So I think him and obviously Rory McIlroy is still one of my, you know, when he won the Masters, we were at Iowa, but we all stopped and, you know, maybe a little tear came to the eye when he won the Masters. It was quite enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. I mean, with all of his struggles that he had, and now here he is. I mean, he's wearing the green jacket now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think it's such a momentous moment for him. And I think the whole world was watching and enjoyed watching him finally get it done.
What do you think he's going to serve at the champions dinner?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know any Irish classics. Definitely not potatoes.
Right. No. Maybe some kind of fish.
Yeah. I imagine there'll be some very nice fish meals in there, some seafood. But I mean, he could choose anything as long as it's not burgers or whatever Chef Leger last night.
Yeah, right. Who knows? He might. Coming to Little Rock, being recruited by Austin Oaf, what was that like?
I'd say I had quite a unique experience to come to college in that I didn't join an agency necessarily. I didn't message coaches. I just played well, and he sent a few texts through and messages through and was like, I'd like to watch you. And he flew out and watched me and a couple of obviously looking at some other guys playing the Karras Trophy.
Where was that?
That was at Moore Park, which is two very nice courses, awesome clubhouse. It's like a big grand hall. But he watched me play. I didn't play necessarily that great, but I think I played well enough that he saw the signs of how good I could be. And he's very much that type of person. He sees the potential and he knows how to get that out of the players.
Did you know you wanted to come to the States for college?
Well, originally the idea was to just stay in England and take a few years out and then turn professional. That was the... And then you slowly realize the... not waiting that the ranking systems have over here, because it's better than it was, but there's definitely an advantage to being in America and with the whole WAGA rankings and now CLIP rankings and all sorts. And just the opportunities of coming to school. I mean, I've played some of my dream golf courses just by being part of this team, which is an incredible thing to say and really enjoyable to play. So
there are some pretty good golf courses that you all get to practice on too. I mean, Pleasant Valley, Chenal, every time... Elotion?
Yeah. Elotion every Monday is one of the coolest things I get to say. It is a very special place, but I mean, Chenal is also an extremely good track. I mean, you've got Bear Den, which is tight, and that's a very good challenging golf course to practice on. And then you have the Founders Course, which is where we have our home event, which is also an incredible condition golf course. And
you guys dominated that home event this year. Got off to a bit of a slow start. Yeah. Coach kind of kicked you in the rear.
Yeah, we had a good few days going into that tournament of being part of a team and what it meant to be part of a team, which we hadn't lost, but we didn't think we had that as in high regard as it needed to be. We didn't have that at the forefront of our minds. And then we went into that tournament with a very good mindset, and it showed in the scores. I mean, the final, I think we didn't finish as well as we'd like to. I definitely didn't finish as well as I'd like to, but it was great for the team to reach the scores that we did, and with not relative ease, but it wasn't as hard as we thought it would be. We really put it together well.
Then you've got Country Club of Little Rock that you guys get to go play. The views up there. Talk about the views at Elotion. They're nice. Yeah. The views of CCLR are really nice too. You got the downtown view, and then you got the out looking towards the west along the river. I mean, it's like you said, growing up on the cliffs there in England. I mean, that's up on a hill.
Yeah, yeah. That's the part of golf I love, is just the landscapes around the course. It's just countryside, and it's like CCLR. I remember the first time I went out and we played, and then you come down hole two and you look straight down hole two towards downtown, and that is one of the coolest views in Little Rock, if not the best view in Little Rock. And that's such a nice part of CCLR. I mean, we have a big debate in our team about the rankings of the each course in the state, but CCLR is definitely up there as best landscape and best views.
Yeah, when you look at the views there, I mean, just you take them in. Every time I'm up there, I'm amazed at how they found this piece of property,
yeah,
cut the course the way they did, mm-hmm, and get the views that you get.
Yeah.
It's pretty spectacular.
It is spectacular, yeah.
How tough of a decision was it to come to Little Rock? And what finally sold you on Little Rock?
So we had, so I came with one of my teammates last year who transferred this year, but we were both going to sign with UCA when coach was at UCA. He also had Mark and a player called Zach Little there. And we were really bought into that idea of building a team. And I mean, it would be mainly English, but a sort of more European team. And then coach called us and said, look, this opportunity has arisen. I've just got to take it. And we didn't blame or anything like that. It was a purely, I mean, if you looked at the numbers, you'd definitely say it was a good decision. And it turned out it was the best decision. And he said that he's coming here and there's a better opportunity here. And scholarship wise, it was a good thing for me and my family. So it was almost a no brainer, to be honest.
Do you guys feel like you've had a productive fall season this year? Obviously, in the only head-to-head with the University of Arkansas, you guys beat them by 6 shots. How important was that tournament in Cincinnati?
That was a big milestone for us. We know that we're the best team in the state, and obviously we don't have the budget or the, you know, promotion about our team as Arkansas do, but when, especially Mark coming from Arkansas, coming to the team and bringing that element of wanting to beat his previous team, and we want to be the best team in Arkansas, so being able to beat them with, you know, that was pretty rewarding for us.
You're getting ready for a little winter break, and then the spring season comes around, and it's all geared towards trying to win the OVC, get to the NCAA championships, and get out to La Costa in California. Mm-hmm. If Little Rock is able to do that, a success, or do you need to get in the final 8?
I'd say making nationals would be the first success, and I think there's the final goal is the final 8. I think we're definitely capable of playing, which I think where the fall has been, the rankings wise, we haven't done as well as we could have done, but I think we've all learned a lot about ourselves this fall that we can put together in the spring and really reach our potential. But yeah, nationals is the main goal. And if we get there, we know that we can perform well enough to get the final 8, and the sky's the limit from there.
Ed, what's for you after college? Plan to turn pro?
Yeah, that's the professional golf is my goal, has been my goal for quite a long time. And college in America was the best way we thought we could get there. And the opportunities that open up when you play at a school like this and play the schedule we do and things like that, it professional golf is definitely where I want to be.
DP World Tour? PGA?
I wouldn't mind either. I'd like to get to a point where I could be comfortable and play the DP World Tour and not have to. I think playing around Europe is a pretty awesome experience.
It's a grind though, isn't it?
It is. It is a grind. And that's something we're not, you know, we don't shy away from. And we're aware of how tough it is. We get to see a lot of our friends and people we've known who have played. One of my friends from back home actually struggled at the start of final stage and came back, and he's just come 12th, I think, at DP World final stage. So he's having a great week this week. But it just shows the grind, and it doesn't always happen instantly. And I can't expect it to happen by 24 or 25, but I think I'm definitely capable of making it happen pretty quickly.
If there's someone out there listening that is teetering on whether or not they should pick up the game of golf, mm-hmm, why should they?
I think it's one of the most rewarding sports and things in life you can do. I love the game because it teaches you about life, and you can hit good shots and get bad breaks, and you can hit bad shots and get good breaks, but you just have to keep a mental attitude of positivity and try and work your way through the ups and downs. I think that's why the game is special, and I think people should take it up.
Best golf course you've ever played?
That's a tough decision. We've played some pretty awesome courses. I'd say for me it's a toss-up between East Lake and Estancia in Arizona.
Yeah.
I think the overall experience of Estancia was definitely one of the better golf experiences I've had in my life. East Lake was very special, but we did play it in 20 miles an hour wind and rain, so it didn't quite live up to its full potential. But
yeah,
I think Estancia is probably one of the best courses I've ever played.
All right, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
Seve Ballesteros, Tiger, and I'd love to pick Adam Scott's brain. I really would.
That'd be a good group.
That would be. I think that you got all bases covered with those three, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they all won the Masters. Mm-hmm. They all won a British Open. That's pretty tough company right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I'd handle the pressure with those three, but it would definitely be a good few hours.
I mean, obviously, you've seen the videos of Seve mm-hmm. and what he was able to do. His short game.
Yeah.
His hands.
I was lucky enough that my coach back home took two guys out to Spain to do a Seve sort of training trip, and we went to where he grew up, and we went to the beach that he used to hit on, and we hit bunker shots with three irons on the beach and went to the course that he used to sneak on. It's a very nice golf course, actually, and saw the wall that he used to jump over and his house on top of the hill, and that just being there, I don't want to say it, but just being there made my short game better. The whole experience of how you just have to let it happen and don't get too tense with it, and everything's just a bit laid back, and you could see what he did in the shots that he hit when he was younger and how that affected him and how he became such a good creator of the golf shot.
It's fascinating to see how some people, where they grow up and how they're able to practice, helps them further along in life and in golf, right?
Yeah, big time. I think that shows in my game now, and I'm nowhere near where I'm going to end up being, but playing at home in the wind and rain and stuff like that, is you can see it. I'm more comfortable in the wind and rain than some other guys, and I can hit the ball lower than some other guys. It definitely shows in how you play.
How high can you hit a pitching wedge, and how low can you hit a pitching wedge?
I can definitely send it up there, but when a few years ago I could hit it very low. I could flight it below most people's, like 5 or 6 iron probably. It was a joke.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. It was useful in the wind, but then I literally had to learn how to hit the ball high to play in big national tournaments, and coming in soft on firm greens that took me some practice.
Some time to get used to. Ed, best of luck this spring, and best of luck at your goal of reaching professional tours.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
The next time you travel to El Dorado and need overnight accommodations, the Haywood Hotel is where you need to stay. The Haywood El Dorado Tapestry Collection by Hilton is a great place to stay if you're in South Arkansas, listening to live music, or playing the challenging Mystic Creek Golf Club. Take time and relax in their bar for a drink before going out on the town for dinner. The Haywood, 210 South Washington, right in the heart of downtown El Dorado. Search the Haywood El Dorado on the web or call 800-293-0718 for reservations. The Haywood, a Beechwood hospitality property.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons, it's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
That's all the time for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I want to thank Beechwood Hospitality, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you're staying at a Beechwood Hospitality Hotel. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.